last night's game. It won't be Shane. It will be Justin Bieber going tonight for Toronto. So I don't like the Blue Jays' chances. He is Canadian, after all. All right, look, Dodger fans, you can laugh about that. The rest of baseball is very upset you guys won last night, and I'm just going to say that. The rest of baseball, meaning me. But that's just between you, me, and everybody wearing blue across the valley. You know how much I love you guys and really respect the fact that you guys, once again, have bought yourself another world title. Sound bitter? Talk to me back in 2014. It seemed pretty good at that particular point. Anyway, it will be game four. I'll tell you all about the schedule a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, remind you every day, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information on the web. And again, when we go over the schedule, I'll tell you everything that Ed does for the alma mater of he and a lot of people at Precision Civil Engineering, which is the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus at Fresno State. We'll get to that a little bit later on and get you the lineup for both 1430 and 790. As always on a Tuesday, our great friend and outstanding de facto co-host, Jackson Moore, ready for the first two visits. We'll get to Jackson in just a second. And again, I want to mention what I did yesterday to Robert S., Robert P., Clovis Dave, Phil P., Steve from Clovis, Rick P., JJ, Richard G., Ruben, Brian, Joaquin, all you guys that emailed in. I'm trying to lump the emails together so we can get through most of it. I do appreciate all your input, however, and if I don't reference specifically what you said, be assured that it will be within the confines of the overall view of all of the emails, and that'll be the same situation all week long. Before we get to Jackson, though, or other good friends and sponsors want to spend a minute with you, as they do every day. First, the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They do so much to help out with athletics across the valley, and we really appreciate it. And right now, those local operators have a throwback to the late 90s, as right now the great honey barbecue flavor on everything has taken front and center. That means chicken sandwiches, tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces we know and love, the 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals, all on sale right now at your local KFC. So stop on by, and you can get everything with the great honey barbecue flavor on it. Also, keep in mind, you still have the Tuesday deal in place that's been there for a long time, which is the $10 8-piece bucket or chicken tenders. Also, on Wednesday, the $5.99 country fried steak is there. And you still have, of course, the great offer with the chicken sandwich for $3.99 right now at your local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And we thank everybody there for stepping up big time for athletics across the Central Valley. The other reminders, one comes from Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. Jackson Moore is on hold on that very line right now at 559-320-1430. It's how Phil will bring up his guests and also callers from the general public. So mark that down if you want to give Phil a call during his show, 559-320-1430. That is the Lee's Air Hotline. As far as Lee's and their local influence, I'll tell you what, you see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. Anything you need, central air, heating. Really, we don't need either at the moment, but we're closing in on heating, I'm sure, in the next few weeks as we change time and get to November this weekend. But also, you've got the roofing, you've got everything there. So central air, plumbing, heating, roofing, all there for you. Give them a call at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or check them out on the web at leesair.com, and they allow me the time every day to bring you the weather. And it is, again, a great forecast for the next 7 days. The only proviso, as usual, as we roll into November, be careful about the fog. I know there were dense fog advisories, particularly in the South Valley this morning, so we all know about it growing up here. Got to be careful this time of year. But once the fog burns off, a real pleasant day today, 75, the low at 52, 79 tomorrow, 80 on Thursday, 78 on Halloween, 78 on Saturday, 79 Sunday. Remind you, at 2 o'clock Sunday morning, the clocks go back, and then an 80 on Monday. So as we head into November, first full week of November, we will be at 80 degrees on Monday. The lows are going to be in the mid-50s. Hopefully that will keep some of the fog away. There is not any precipitation right now in the forecast. It would be nice if we get a little bit more rain here. We'll see how it plays out. But anyway, a really nice forecast for the next 7 days, and thanks to everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time to tell you about the weather. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-Lee's. And then finally, our longtime friend and longtime sponsor, Joe Crew, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Spend a moment with you to tell you how to donate to Fresno State, but first want to tell you about Joe's business. Again, he's at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, celebrating the 25th anniversary of his outstanding business. He's been a booster at Fresno State for over 3 decades. Give him a call, 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or more information on the web, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabriel Mullins, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sps@gmail.com. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, anything you need from an industrial standpoint. If you're working at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, tanker delivery individual, anybody who relies upon a valve, if it goes down, your business can come crashing down around you. What Joe can do for you is analyze with a same-day estimate and same-day service how to keep you up and running. If you have fallen by the wayside, he'll get you back up and running in a big hurry. Stop in and see him, a family-friendly business, and after he addresses your issues, if you have some time, he will tell you how to donate to Fresno State, the best way to go about it. And look, we continue to have this conversation. The corporate entities that are fronting so many schools right now at NIL, we just don't have that kind of infrastructure around the Valley the way we'd like to, so it means it has to be a grassroots effort. So when you're talking about guys like Joe Crews or Ed Dunkel, et cetera, they're stepping up, and they'd like you to do the same. And the best way right now, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com, click on the donate link at the top. You can't miss it. It'll take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org has a link. Under that, you have got the benefits and brochures. Club Red is there. When you go to the major giving societies, you have the Green Bee Society and also the Myers Champion Circle. And then finally, under ways to give, you have the delineation of methods of support. And there you find Valley Co-op, which is very, very important, and the sports clubs. And those sports clubs enable you to bring your money right to the sport you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtig with me tomorrow. He'll be with me every Wednesday to talk basketball. We're closing in on the season. Matter of fact, Fresno State and Fresno Pacific will play on Monday. There'll be a doubleheader at SMC. Jack would love you to call him on his cell at 287-3305 or hit him up on his email, furtigjack@aol.com, and become a member for the Timeout Club. It doesn't cost a lot of money. It's a great social chance for you to talk to other Bulldog fans and do some business as well. Jack is right there for you. We also have links to other sports, for instance, Dugout Club for baseball and other men's and women's sports under those sports clubs beneath the header Ways to Give. And then finally, there's a link that clicks on that says More, and that tells you about tickets and parking and other things on campus. So check all of that out at GoBulldogs.com, and we thank Joe Crews for allowing us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. So thanks to Joe and Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Thanks to the local operators of KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And thanks, as always, to everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. We appreciate everything you do, and we also appreciate the Lee's Air Hotline. And toward that end, we bring up our de facto co-host, the King of the Bark Board himself. It's Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing? For game four, because game three did end about 20 minutes ago in L.A. So the Dodgers, great chance now to pick up back-to-back titles because their pitching is set. Ohtani, by the way, the game last night when Ohtani finally wrapped things up, when, what, 7 times on base last night, when he was talking afterward with the Fox people, and he said, when they asked about I think it was the Rosenthal or whoever it was, or Verducci or somebody asked him about being the starting pitcher tonight, and he said, yeah, I need to go home and get some sleep. So I assume he's going to be ready, and so will the Dodgers, and we'll have a first pitch at, I think, 5:08, but the pregame starts at 4 o'clock, and so we look forward to that. I'll tell you again about the schedule a little bit later on. Right now, let's bring up our de facto co-host, Jackson Moore, king of the bark board, and also the emperor of all he surveys. That's how he writes it. That's how I read it. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Jackson. By the way, one other mention here. Want to thank the Costco folks, both in Fresno off of Abbey, Blackstone, and Herndon right there, and the Costco in Clovis. They're now carrying Bulldog Bread Vodka. That means 100-plus locations carrying Bulldog Bread Vodka. I want to thank everybody at those Costcos for being involved with that. Jackson, a lot to go over. And normally what we do is talk about the game past today and then the game coming up, which in this case would be Boise State, which would be on Thursday. We'd have that conversation. We'll try to hold to that. But I wanted to get back to Ruben's email yesterday because he had emailed in and it said, hey, let's stop the gloom and doom after what happened Saturday and look at the schedule. And what he has said, and I said yesterday that he was half serious and half joking because he put LOL at the end of it. Evidently, he was serious in saying that he honestly believes that if Fresno State can find a way to win at Boise, and that is a little bit like, again, first you get your $1 million, then you don't have to pay taxes. I forgot, right? Okay. The premise is you have to take the big step first. But what he is saying is when he looked at the schedules and sees that in 2 weeks, Boise State has to go to San Diego State and that the Aztecs have a favorable schedule the rest of the way if they can get by Hawaii on the 8th, that he believes that Fresno State could end up playing at Snapdragon against San Diego State. So he is serious that if they can win this one, with the two home games against Wyoming and Utah State and then finishing at San Jose State, the Bulldogs could still get there. On the surface, Jackson, that is overly optimistic in my opinion. But do you buy into any of that at all, starting with the Bulldogs' ability to score enough to win against Boise State? You and I both know this isn't a great defensive team that Boise State has, but the Bulldogs' offensive woes have got to be solved in order to win the game. Can they do it realistically this Saturday in Boise?
Well, I think it's tough just to figure it out that quickly. Boise State's got a pretty solid defense. They're not San Diego State level, but still one of the better ones that the Bulldogs are going to face. And I think probably the biggest issue, maybe even more so than the Bulldog offense, is just the well-roundedness of both San Diego State and Boise State. They're the only two teams in the conference that are top five as both scoring offense and scoring defense. And it just feels like even if the Bulldogs get the offense clicking to a certain degree better, there just hasn't been much margin for error for this team. They just haven't quite put it all together. I think talking about looking forward, if they do find a way to beat Boise State, yeah, you feel really good about your rest of your performance for the rest of the season. You've got three winnable games after that. But I think right now, unless that happens, I'm kind of looking at those last three games as probably 50-50 propositions at best right now, the way the Bulldogs are playing and the way the conference is going. Those three teams are all not to be taken lightly either. So there's a path to potentially sneaking into the conference championship, and there's also a path where this team might be struggling just to get that last win to be bowl eligible.
And Jackson, your point of view, and you and I have not talked about it off air, is exactly mine. I no disrespect, Ruben. I do appreciate sincerely your optimism. The problem is this isn't a Fresno State team right now that is coming back from injury and is suddenly running on all cylinders. You know, Jackson, I look back to the great 49er run where they won back-to-back Super Bowls at the end of 88 and 89 and then Roger Craig fumbled away the three-peat. I think I've mentioned that about a billion times on the air because it irritates me even, what, 30, almost 35 years later, I'm still bothered by it, which tells you my mental capacity in so many ways. But the following year, 91, they had injuries to Steve Young. Of course, Montana was heading off to Kansas City, and they had a terrible start. They were 4-6, then they peeled away six straight, and they were just red hot at the end of the year. But 10-6 was not good enough to get them in the playoffs. And even the Redskins, who went on to win the Super Bowl, said they were really relieved that the 49ers didn't make the playoffs because they had gotten healthy and would probably have been unstoppable. This is not what's happening with Fresno State right now. The Bulldogs have their own issues. Because of that, Jackson, do you look at the Bulldog team as one that it's going to be wait till next year realistically? Or can they fix, even if they don't make the final two, can they fix some of the offensive issues with the current roster they have? I guess that's the question.
I think they can. It's hard to imagine this offense looking the way it has for too much longer. I mean, if they, you know, even in the last couple of games, of course, Colorado State wasn't pretty, but even some of the wins, the offense wasn't too pretty either. If it goes that way for four more games, they probably have to make some changes. I just don't think it can possibly look like that long. They've got to find something. There's enough games there where they're going to be able to tinker around and figure out some things that work. Now with Carson Conklin in there, once he settles in, I think that'll unlock some things for this staff and this current group of offense. But I think the big question is, what exactly are the stakes when you're talking about this year? Because they do have to win the next four to have a chance to be in the conference championship. They still might not get there. There's really nothing in between that being 9-3 and being 6-6 as far as, you know, getting postseason bowl game. There's not a whole lot up for grabs that's too meaningful other than having a good record. So on one hand, just going to Carson Conklin in general, it gives you a chance to see what you've got for next year. If he's either going to solidify himself as a starter for next season or give Fresno State an awful lot to think about as far as going out to maybe acquiring someone else or maybe being ready to hand the keys to a freshman if Conklin doesn't turn a corner at some point. But, I mean, you absolutely need to win one more. But if you're not playing for a conference championship, you almost feel like you're finding a little bit more out about next season and getting your ducks in a row for the offseason to a certain degree.
Well, you know, I bring up that 91 49er team, and Montana was hurt at the end of the Leonard Marshall broke Montana's thumb at the end of the 90s season, so Montana was on the bench. Young got hurt, and Steve Bono came in, and then, of course, the end of the year, Montana left. But the point is the 49ers had a third viable quarterback. How many viable quarterbacks does Fresno State have right now on the roster, Jackson? I mean, unproven. The guy, I'm not talking about Rose and those guys, but we saw what Conklin did. I talked about it yesterday. You and I will address it in a second. Is the starter for next year on this roster right now, in your opinion? Do they go that deep? Is it Mandel? Could Mandel be the new Steve Bono? That's something I don't think anybody has asked. Okay. Just wondering.
Yeah, and your phrasing of the question, does Fresno State have three viable quarterbacks? That's a question that's been rattling around in my mind a little bit, because we did hear all August they were saying they had three good quarterbacks and whoever was going to win it was going to really deserve it. And even last week I was told they've got three really good quarterbacks and they're going to go with Conklin, and Mandel's one of those three, and they felt good about all of them. And I can't say the performance. I don't know if those are the adjectives that would use to describe Warner's seven starts and Conklin's one start to this point. And we haven't seen Mandel. He's going through an injury. I don't think we will see him, at least in the starting capacity. I think he's only really available if it's an emergency type situation. So I think for Conklin, I've only seen one game against one of the best defenses, probably the best defense in the group of five. It probably gives quite a few Power Four schools a run for their money as well. And he'll have a chance for four games to prove it. And right now, obviously with Warner graduating and Mandel not getting or now being hurt, it kind of feels like it's got to either be Conklin proving himself or perhaps they do give Rose a shot next year, if Conklin doesn't get over the hump this season, or they let those two battle it out, maybe they have to go to the portal and get someone. It's just become a very difficult proposition with NIL to go get someone that you immediately expect to be a starter at the type of budget that Fresno State has to work with.
The conversation about what happened Saturday, maybe it is an overstatement to say if passes wouldn't have been dropped early, that Conklin would have had a different day. But without question, Jackson, you had a quarterback. And look, even though we saw Conklin at Sac State, you could tell that the apprehension was there. He was trying to fit into this system, and he was nervous at the start of the game. And I just thought the drops really exacerbated that situation. I don't want to, you know, lay the wide receivers the blame right at their feet, but if those plays are made early, does Conklin have a different day, or was it going to be that defense was going to make it miserable no matter what? I'm at the San Diego State defense.
I do think it was going to be a tough one regardless, but I think it's a good point just about some of the issues with this team as a whole. You look at the Colorado State game, I think probably if they convert that fake punt or they get the third and one before that fourth down play when they were down 14-0, that might be a different game. There's a bunch of, you know, those five scores that Colorado State had, a lot of bad things had to snowball one after the other to really put Fresno State in a really bad spot, or else I think they probably, if they could have turned it around at any given point during that stretch and put a stop to it, they'd probably get out of there with a win. But it shows to me just the style of play with the current talent level and the execution, there's just not a lot of room for error. You know, things have to go pretty well on all facets of the game and all three phases, and it just hasn't been working out the last couple of weeks. So especially, again, when you face a Boise State team that's very well-rounded, it's tough for me to see it turning this week. But when you do look at Wyoming, Utah State, San Jose State, those are all teams that have some strengths and weaknesses. I think you can work with that and game plan around that and find some ways to success. But a lot of things got to improve in a short amount of time to beat a team like Boise State with the way that they're playing right now.
Now, they're going to be without Marshall, their top wide receiver, as you're already aware, because of disciplinary reasons. How big a hit is that to the Boise State offense, Jackson?
It's a big hit. It's also, you look at their stats, it's kind of interesting. They really don't have one guy that's setting the world on fire. They've got basically four receiving targets that are almost about equal in the statistics. So I think they've got enough depth and enough options to go to where it won't hurt them that bad. But you know, certainly a valuable player for them.
Look, the micro of this is what happens at Boise State in the rest of this season. The macro is the question that's going to keep coming up, and that is, in this day and age of NIL, and it, you know, one more time, it is not fair, it is not right, it has bastardized the entire system. It is, however, the old when in Rome, right? Right. If you're going to compete, you're going to have to accept the inequity that is there. So because of that, you're either going to whine about it and do nothing about it, or if you want to whine about it, it's okay as long as you're hitching it up and trying to do everything you can. That having been said, what Matt Entz wants to do, Jackson, which is to run the football one more time, shorten the game, make it a five-minute game, out-execute the other team, and win by playing solid defense and intelligent offense. You have to have an offensive line that can hold its own. If you're not going to dominate, that's one thing. But if you're going to get overwhelmed by a defensive front and you just can't run the football, particularly if everybody says, you know what, Fresno State can't beat us through the air, so we're going to load the box, and that's all there is to it, and the Bulldogs are not going to run the way they want. You know, Matt said, as long as 2 and 6 are getting the ball, we're in good shape. Defenses know it. Also, you can throw in 31, as Paul mentioned yesterday. Stop them, you stop the Bulldogs. Long-term, Jackson, can Matt do what he did in the state of North Dakota at Fresno State? Is it possible without monster NIL money to recruit to the most difficult place, probably outside of the defensive line, the offensive line, the most difficult place? And even if you could develop talent the way Pat Hill did, in this day and age, people can buy it away. Can you do it with that system here?
I almost think it's a more viable approach, just because the players that are going to get the most money in the portal and going to have the most competition are going to be guys who can throw the ball and guys that can pass block, those big tackles especially. So if you're focusing your offense on running the ball, you might be able to get more O-linemen that don't have that big-time pass-blocking ability, but you don't really need them in that scheme either. You're looking for some gritty players, maybe not the prototypical big-time linemen, but just big guys who can be road graders. But I think even it looked like we were seeing it in this offense earlier, guys that really hadn't done much in Fresno State uniforms were able to let this offense run the ball pretty well for a few weeks, not so much lately, but I think you can work with this. It's, again, tough to find a quarterback you can rely on with the NIL dollars being where they're at. So if you can have a scheme that's more focused on running the ball and not having a guy that you need to throw it 40 or 50 times, I think that's probably a way to go. You either need to have some money or some connections to pull that off, or a scheme that's really attractive for a quarterback. But I do like the way that they have it set up. It's just right now, they're not able to run the ball. They're not executing it well, and they didn't stay committed to it. I think the biggest issue against San Diego State and what Coach Entz brought up, it's a good thing when Donaldson and Luke get the ball, but they only were handed off to, I believe, 13 times or so in this game. The Bulldogs only handed it off at all about 16 times, and this is a game where they threw it 42, so they were shut out anyway. They could have been shut out just as easily trying to run it for second, third down and see what happens. Even some of the runner heaviest teams, even the triple options, defenses know the run's coming from them, but they're going to do it anyway. And I think that's the mentality that this team was supposed to have and hasn't quite gotten to at this point in the season, whether it's personnel or play calling or the lack of quarterback play. They've got to figure it out, but if they can get their guys in there and be a physical running team, pretty basic game plan that's usually pretty effective, especially if you have a good defense, which the Bulldogs do right now, and unfortunately they're not taking advantage of that.
Well, as we mentioned yesterday, it was a two-possession game going to the fourth quarter, and that was all credit to the defense, and we assumed they would respond after a less-than-great effort at Fort Collins. But two things, Jackson. One, if you are going to do that with the O-line, does it mean you're going to have to be prepared, though, to develop guys on a year-to-year basis? Because even though it might not be the cause celeb, let's face it, there are no secrets in this day and age. I had talked about the USC-Alabama game at the start of the 70s where Bear Bryant invited the Trojans in to Birmingham. They didn't play in Tuscaloosa specifically because he wanted the people in the Southeast, in particular in Alabama, to see the African-American athlete, because he wanted to integrate, and he knew the politics of that at that time in the South. But the next year, he fooled USC because he got thundered this. He just destroyed them in Birmingham. The next year, he switched the whole offense to the wishbone and surprised everybody because nobody knew about it. That never happens anymore, okay? Never. You don't get away with anything in social media. Because of that, you can't hide even your old lineman. You and I are both aware of it. So you're going to have to develop year after year. You're saying you can get a system to develop those linemen so those that you lose, you still have enough to replace them. You can go that deep. Is that the theory?
I think so. Coach Entz wants it to be a developmental program, and what I've noticed with this recruiting class is just how vast it is. They've got 24 high school commits already, and they might add a couple more by signing day. And a lot of them are linemen, both on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. So if you do have one guy that really stands out and gets poached away, you should have at least one or two more developing that are ready to be the next guy up. I think they also need to be more successful with the portal and the junior college ranks this offseason. They didn't get many transfer linemen. One got injured, unfortunately, Gino Quinones, who might have been a starter on this line. So they didn't really get an instant impact there. The only new lineman that's playing on offense is, of course, a true freshman, Braden Walton, which we didn't see coming, but it's been a pretty big addition now that we know what he's actually capable of. So, if you get one Braden Walton every year and a couple of guys developing for 2 or 3 years, you'll have a pretty decent line within a couple of seasons. And I think this is, on one hand, college football is not a long-term project anymore, but Coach Entz and the staff, they are taking a very developmental high school recruiting approach. And within 2 or 3 years, they should be their guys in the trenches that come in with a certain mindset and have been developed to be a certain type of player that the current roster has not.
We talk so often about Ryan Matthews and the fact that he had family issues, he and his mother, as we mentioned many times, and he's been open about it. We're living out of their car while he was trying to go to school, and when that was sorted out, his grades and his SATs, everything improved, and suddenly Pat Hill, who had been on Ryan from the time he was a star at West High School in Bakersfield, Pat found a lot of the vultures circling, but out of loyalty, Ryan stayed the course at Fresno State, signed on, and of course ended up being a first-round draft choice in the NFL. We talked about the fact that in this day and age, it would be really difficult to turn down the major money. That having been said, Jackson, I know this is a sore spot with a lot of people. If you're looking for quarterbacks, for instance, that are serviceable for your program if you're going to run it, and you have a lot of local guys that want to play, do you start to say local guys take all pushes simply because they may be more likely to stay home because of family reasons and loyalty to what they grew up with, or is that a quaint but ultimately antiquated point of view?
Yeah, I do think you probably go for best available, especially this coach and staff. They've recruited a lot locally, and they've got a big one with Deacon Rose, obviously, leading the class, being right from Clovis. But they've also expanded the recruiting territory. They've been in St. Louis and Omaha and Colorado and Utah. They're recruiting all over the place. So they're looking for certain type of players regardless of where they're coming from, and they don't seem to be deterred by geographics to get some of these players. But I think if all things are equal, you know, that should be a tipping point. And I think while, you know, Coach Entz doesn't have the local legendary status of a Jeff Tedford, there's still a lot of things around the program that probably played into the Deegan Rose development and future local commits potentially coming to Fresno State. And I think it's also, you know, there's different dynamics there too, where if you lost a local player before, it was over. But now with the portal, they could come back in a year or two. And the same thing, if a player wants to perhaps take a risk of staying home, quote unquote, instead of taking that big offer out of high school, well, they might be worth quite a bit of money in 2 or 3 years, and they'll have checked off to play at home and then to maybe cash in on that as well. So there's different ways to play it. And, you know, that's just kind of the one thing in the Bulldogs' back pocket with all of these different dynamics coming in that I think you do have to rely on a bit.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have great respect for Matt Entz. He has been a big winner at the FCS level, and I know it's been an adjustment for him. I like the fact that he takes responsibility for what's going on. I know our good buddy JJ had reflected that in comments to me, and also he posted his comments on the board. I agree with him, and I believe from your point of view, Jackson, that if it is something where you can get the infrastructure in place where it is replaceable, so it's self-sustaining, that you know you're going to lose guys, but you should be losing the guys who made the program better. And if there are guys behind them that can fit the system, plug and play, as we've talked, then it will work. This has been a year where we know it was going to be a transition to begin with, but also the fact the Bulldogs won 3 games they could have lost. By the way, Hawaii, I'm sure, lamenting the game against Fresno State big time, because it may be the only reason Rainbow Warriors aren't in the final two at the end of the year, particularly if they happen to beat San Diego State on the islands in a couple of weeks. But the Bulldogs won games they could have lost. That built expectation. Now they're coming back down. You want to call it regressing to the mean, take your choice, or the schedule is toughening up. They are probably where most of the pundits thought they were going to be at the start of the year. So we'll see how it plays out. If they were to win Saturday, it changes the whole narrative again. But I'm with you. That is a long shot at best. But you know what? Going to play 4 quarters, and this isn't a great, great Boise State team, but it is a very good offensive team. Toward that end, and we'll talk more about Boise State, of course, on Thursday when Jackson is with me, our friend Mark up in Clovis Northland had emailed in, and he said that the frustration that he feels and a lot of Bulldog fans feel, and it's funny because you just brought up Jeff Tedford, and just brought this up to Tedford the other day, the fact that the Bulldogs seem to stub their toe and plateau at certain times and lose games that most people feel they shouldn't lose. And what Marcus said is what people here want is that consistency of winning. And every year it seems like there's a game or two where Fresno State falls back, and then they end up not where everybody wants them to be at the end of the year. And his theory is, as long as they do that and they're not positioning themselves the way Boise State has, these are Mark's words, that fan base isn't going to be as likely to donate the kind of monies you need. Jackson, what is your feeling about that? We have talked about the head-scratching games year after year, sometimes one, sometimes two, and it does take that expectation and deflate it in a hurry. Does it impact everything around Fresno State, and is it something that Matt Entz can change here?
Yeah, I think Coach Entz used a good descriptor of Boise State. The Bulldogs series has been a lot more even the last almost 10 years now, and it doesn't feel like Boise State is the Boise State of old, but he called them, I believe, a model of consistency was the quote he used, and I think that's the thing Fresno State fans have been frustrated by. The Bulldogs get to the highs, many of which are the conference championships, and they beat Boise State here or there on a conference championship game or in season, but they haven't been able to string it together for a long-term period of time. And looking at the last time these two teams played, it was only 2 years ago, almost to the dot. And you look at the records, Fresno State 8-1, Boise State 4-5. Who would guess the team that would be in the college football playoff 1 year later and front runner for the conference championship again another year after that would be the team that left Valley right. Children's Stadium under 500. So, meanwhile, Fresno State's been playing about 500 ball since then. So that's a pretty decent example, even just in a short window of just what kind of continues to trend over and over with these programs.
One last thing for you, and again, we'll get to Boise State on Thursday. Are we going to see major attrition at the end of this year strictly because, beyond NIL, because of playing time, because guys who thought they might get more reps and they haven't gotten them, possibly running backs because they didn't see the kind of productivity that they wanted and maybe they look at the line or other things and say it's time to move on? Or are we going to see guys the old-fashioned way stay the course here to get this done?
Probably a bit of a mixed bag. On this roster, there's about 25 seniors, and most of them are of the variety that are actually out of eligibility, like all the years we've been going through lately where it felt like half the seniors are not actually seniors with COVID eligibility and all that. They're expecting a bulk of the upperclassmen now to just naturally move on as they'll be out of eligibility. About 25 seniors and about 25 high schoolers committed, so... if you talk about the running backs, Elijah Gilliam, a guy that would fit in that category, is out of eligibility after this year, as is Jonathan Arsenault. You know, two guys that have been just on the outside of playing time. They just don't have the option to go to the portal and get playing time elsewhere at this stage. So a lot of the players, there's a lot of seniors that are starters. You know, they'll free up room for the next group to get their competition. It'll be interesting, though, because there's no spring portal anymore. So if you've got, let's say, two centers behind Jacob Stolmer, just as a hypothetical, one of those two guys may have to decide if they feel like they can actually win it or if they should just hit the portal here in January and go compete somewhere else. So that's, a lot of guys will be going through that. I think that's the biggest question for me, whether the transfer portal exits inflate to a certain degree. But I would expect probably about 15 to 20 openings, and that's not unheard of beyond the senior class that will be graduating.
All right, in the last 30 seconds or a minute here, Jackson, the main three running backs, you anticipate all three back, and also are we going to see a restocking of the wide receiver core?
The receiver core is, you know, it's not the most high-priced position for NIL, but it seems like a lot of the receivers Fresno State had gotten just a few years ago are now kind of a given that they're being taken to powerful programs. And some of the guys they did get, a Jalen Gill or a Nico Remigio, are really into Coach Tedford and his offense, which is, you know, not what the Bulldogs are doing anymore. So I'm not sure how attractive Fresno State's going to be on the receiver front, but they clearly need to bring in some players there, especially with Josiah Freeman graduating. Curious to see a running back. You were worried about Bryson Donaldson potentially playing so well that he would get poached. I'm not certain the stats right there put him in that concerning territory right now. I think Brandon Ramirez feels like a Bulldog born, Bulldog bred guy that isn't anxious to leave. He's got a lot of eligibility, too, after redshirting and being injured. But you probably worry a little bit about Rayshon Luke one more year after what he showed early in the season. So a couple of players the Bulldogs definitely need to hold on to and retain. And, you know, since the Bulldogs probably aren't going out in the market, spending big money on offensive tackles and quarterbacks that they can't afford anyway, there should be some dollars around there to keep players around and see what's left to go bring in some targets after that.
Well, we'll see how this season finishes out, and that may determine a lot of it. Jackson, I appreciate it. Still 30% off the board right now, is that correct?
Yes, 30% off a year. It's also full price for the month, which comes with the Paramount Plus added on to it.
Well worth it. Check it out at GoBulldogs.com or Barkboard.com, where you'll find everything for Fresno State, either NIL through Go Bulldogs or, of course, the sub for the board, and it's well worth it with Jackson heading it up. And, Jackson, you and I will talk Thursday all about Boise State. Appreciate it, my friend. Talk to you then. Take care.
All right. You too, Tony. Thank you.
All right. Defect co-host Jackson Moore. All right. A couple minutes ago, guys, I want to thank the sponsors once again. Thanks to the local KFC operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Again, remind you right now, it's a throwback to the 90s there. They've got the great barbecue flavor on everything, the honey barbecue on everything. From the chicken sandwiches to the tenders to the great pieces of chicken, the 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals. Check that out at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Thanks, as always, to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Thanks, everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And thanks, Lee's, of course, for the hotline where we bring up people like Jackson Moore, which is 559-320-1430. That is how you can also reach Phil and make your comments. He's coming up momentarily. And then finally, thanks to Ed Dunkel, everybody at Precision Civil Engineering. They allow me time to tell you about the upcoming schedule. I will right now and remind you that the great goal at Precision Civil Engineering to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students has worked beautifully. We commend Ed and everybody there at Precision Civil Engineering. As far as the lineup goes, tonight, 4 o'clock after 1 hour of Phil's great show, Behind the Bench, it will be Game 4 of the World Series, first pitch at 5:08 or thereabouts. On 790, the Sharks, the Kings, tonight at 7:30, they'll drop the puck. The game is also on ESPN television. By the way, speaking of TV, Warriors and the Clippers are on NBC tonight. So, again, the unusual free game over the air. We're seeing a lot more of it right now. So, Warriors and Clippers tonight. The Lakers are with us later in the week. Also, for us, we start the next NFL week with a Thursday national game. We also, of course, have Sunday night and Monday games from Westwood One, and that means Major Wager Monday. Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota Granite Park, Carter and the gang out there. It's a great time. Stop by every Monday for that. 49er games, Ram games, Raider games also on our air. Everything, obviously, for the World Series will be with us however long it lasts. The same applies with the Super Bowl. We'll have everything for the playoffs and the Super Bowl. Also, everything through the NBA playoffs in addition to the Lakers. And then all the local action, including Friday Night Lights coming up this Friday. Phil will tell you more about that. And again, remind you, his show normally 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian, El Paso across from River Park. Great conversation of Phil's show and the best furniture you're going to find anywhere. Nothing like it in all of California. Paul Metters, two fine shows. Sunbird Sports Show on 790, 6 to 7 on Wednesday, and Central Valley Sports Report on 1430, Saturday mornings 10 a.m. to noon. Also, Fresno Pacific and Fresno State basketball. Next Monday, November 3, we'll have the Fresno Pacific broadcast for you. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1, at att.net, TDAD, the number one, at att.net. And then for the station, 1430 ESPN Fresno.com, you'll find the live links and podcast there. Thanks to Joe. Thanks to Jackson. Jack Furtig with me tomorrow. We will talk basketball tomorrow. We're closing in, of course, on both the men's and women's seasons. So we'll go over that. Matt Norville will rejoin me, by the way, when basketball starts to talk more about the women's teams as well. All right, thanks to everybody. Stay tuned for Phil. Then the World Series Game 4. We will talk to you guys tomorrow with Jack Furtig on KFIG Fresno.